Good morning. Experiences that I guess we say make us feel uncomfortable, whether it be an awkward silence, being put in a new situation or location that we're not familiar with, being asked to do something like speaking in public. You know, some of us have that fear from, I still remember the fearful moment I had in 10th grade reciting Julius Caesar, friends, Romans, countrymen. I stared at the corner, and the class was behind me. I'm sure they were laughing because that's what I would do if I saw somebody staying, look at the corner. But that made me very uncomfortable. Or anything that we face in our life that could cause a scenario where we are not comfortable. Now, by human nature, we don't like being in those areas. We like being in our comfort zone. Right, we don't like going new. Some of us don't like going new places all. Some people like going new places all the time, but it still brings a level of discomfort. And despite that, occasionally we venture out and we try to do something a little different. Try to do something that's not in our comfort zone. It causes us to be a little uncomfortable. And how we react to those situations really determines whether we fail or we succeed. Now, in November of this last year, the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And Sean and I have talked about this. The president was confronted by a student about the student's feelings after a chapel one morning offered by the university. The speaker that day had been discussing 1 Corinthians 13. And the student approached the president, and the student said, "The speaker was wrong for making me feel uncomfortable and wrong for making my peers feel uncomfortable." Now, being the president of a Christian university, he responded. He responded with an essay entitled, "This is not a daycare, it's a university." It's a pretty good response, I think. It's a pretty good title to response. And in it, the president called out the student. Didn't call him out by name, but called him out saying, "The feeling of discomfort you have is called a conscience." Valid point. He went on to say that a good sermon's goal is to get a person to confess their sins. I happened to see something last night, and if I'd found it earlier than last night on Facebook, I would have found a way to post it. But it was a picture of a mega church. We'll say it's in Houston in a former arena. And on the bottom was a church kind of like us. And at the top it said, when they preach what you want to hear, 20,000 people. And at the bottom it says, when they preach the truth. It's a small number. And that's kind of where we are. We don't necessarily like to be challenged. I don't like to be outside that comfort zone. So the whole scenario at Oklahoma University, the Wesleyan University, got me thinking about real life situations that cause discomfort, cause me to feel uncomfortable, cause us to feel uncomfortable. And the one that comes to mind that crystallizes is not the 10th grade reciting of Julius Caesar. It was in 2003. I was in my 6 years as an athletic trainer, and I had this bright idea to volunteer to be a speaker at the Tennessee Athletic Training Society annual state meeting. Great idea. It was a great idea to say, you know, September of 2012 when I volunteered, or 2002, but in January of 2003, it really wasn't that good of an idea on my part. I really questioned what I was thinking. Now, to prepare for this, and public speaking at that time was almost taboo for me. It was still making that transition over from, you know, as a kid, you don't want to speak in front of your peers, to an adult of going, I think I have something to say, but I'm not really sure, to finally becoming a veteran, which I'm still looking forward to, of having a clue what you're saying and, you know, making sense. So it didn't come easy to me. So I challenged myself, one, by making that not very smart decision to volunteer, but I made the decision, I volunteered, I'm on the list, I'm on the schedule, so I have to be prepared. And I spent months preparing for that presentation. It's a 45-minute presentation, that was it. I spent months. I recited it to the kitchen cabinets at the house I was living in, I don't know how many times. They knew more about the topic than I did. But I prepared, I over-prepared, and I was still nervous. Came January 2003, I'm standing there in the amphitheater at MTSU, I'm looking up in the crowd. I see some friendly faces, some people I know, some coworkers. They're giving me encouragement. I go, okay, I can do this. As I start the presentation, I'm nauseous. I'm just trying to get through. I'm thinking I could do this 45 minutes. Just don't lose lunch or whatever meal was last. And I get through, and I'm looking at the crowd, see the friendly faces, I'm feeling good. Then I look, and I see Division I college athletic trainers. I go, why are they in here? They're not going to learn anything from me. Then I look around and see veteran guys, guys that mentored me or guys that I'd known have been in the profession for 30 years. What are they doing here? Then I saw the Hall of Famers. I'm like, I'm an idiot. These people, why are they in here listening to me speak? So I'm getting more and more nervous during the process. Then I see the 5 minutes to go hand signal. I'm like, hallelujah, it's almost over. I can get through this. I can finish this. I get through it. I'm feeling good. I'm like, I got through. For a moment, I felt good. Then it was that, did I say something stupid? Did I give the wrong information? Did somebody fall asleep and they're trying to wake them up now so they can get to the next session because I was so boring? That's what went through my head immediately. It's like we went nervous before, nervous during, and now we're nervous after. But eventually, I got enough good feedback to make me think it might have gone all right. I watched it once on video. I deleted the video. It's like, yeah, that's just, no, we're not going to see that again. But that's what happened, is I put myself, for some reason, in a position that made me very uncomfortable. And I took that challenge, and it actually made me grow, personally and professionally, because it made me research a topic, it made me stand in front of my peers, and be the quote-unquote expert for the 45 minutes. That's something that being uncomfortable allows us to do. So in the end, it pushed me to do a better job, being uncomfortable. Just like this does every time. Coming up here to speak to you guys. And I'm not even sure when I touch on this in the little script, because if you can see, I write all this stuff and then I forget to look at it. But I get very uncomfortable speaking in front of you guys, because I don't feel like I'm quite the expert that should be up here speaking. I think it's great that we do a rotation. We get some good experts. As Jimmy said this morning, we get JJ up here speaking, and he's knowledgeable, and we get other people, and then you get me. I'm not sure what I was thinking. Can we retract that offer at some point?
No.
And in a few minutes, I just want you to do earmuffs, not listen to anything I say, because it's going to challenge me again. But in the end, being uncomfortable helps us. That may seem counterintuitive, but at the core, we know that if we get challenged, we strive to do a better job. If we take that seriously, we strive to do a better job, and that uncomfortableness will push us toward that. Now let's talk about being uncomfortable in the context of being a Christian. Each time we meet here, and other Christians around this country meet, no matter where the church is, no matter where the venue is, there's a certain expectation of comfort. Comfort in the setting, comfort in the message, comfort in the people, comfort in all things churchy. We're not challenged that much when we come to church. And that's a byproduct of being in America. That's one of the great things about meeting in America. Where other places, here we expect no negative response. When you get a guy like Vinay travels around India spreading the word about God and Jesus, and he has to live with the expectation something bad could happen any moment. You get missionaries around the world that go and preach the message, and they could be preaching the wrong religion in that area that could lead to their death. So think about that level of uncomfort. We come here, it's pretty comfortable. It's just my worry, am I going to say something stupid? Am I going to offend somebody? Their discomfort is potential torture and death. So we have it pretty good here. And so that gets me to thinking, I'm pretty comfortable. I don't challenge myself. And there's a difference in the faith that Vinay and the missionaries practice and the faith that I practice. I don't get outside my comfort zone. Speaking here every 12 to 14 weeks is outside my comfort zone. That's about as much as I push myself most of the time. So they operate in a society where they know the possibilities. Could be just being mocked, could be made, ridiculed, could be tortured, could be killed. Well, my concern is, am I going to say something stupid? So there's a big difference there in the level of comfort. Now in the Bible, let's look at, and usually on my lesson I try to have multiple scriptures. I didn't do it very well today. We have one set of scripture we're going to look at. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, And we're going to start with verse 7. We're going to look at Moses at the burning bush and see what he did. So, Exodus 3, start with verse 7. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you, talking to Moses still, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, all good statements start with but. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Did you hear that? Did you hear what Moses just did? Here's Moses. He's standing in the desert. He's tending the sheep. And God's come to him and says, hey, I'm choosing you, Moses. You're going to help my people and rescue them from the Egyptians. And you're going to do this with my full support. I got you. I'm going to fully support you and give you guidance. Instead of being fired up, God's got faith in me. I don't know why, but he does. Let's do this, God. You got my back, I got yours. I'm fired up. Let's go. What's Moses do? You mean me? Me? Of all people? I'm not the guy for this job. God, you got the wrong guy. You need to go find somebody else. Somebody else is better prepared for this. Not me. If you could do that for me, God, that'd be great. Just go find somebody else. God said, no. So God being God, he explains himself. He's in verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? So God is taking him down this path. God is saying, I got your back, let's go. He explains it. He's going to provide support. And Moses keeps asking. He keeps asking, I'm not the one. I can't do this. They bring in Aaron. They do this. They do that. And after a while, finally, Moses listens. He keeps wanting to say, I'm not comfortable. You should probably go find someone else. So how often are we like that in our daily lives? How often do we hem and haw about discussing being a Christian with a non-Christian? As the psalm before the lesson said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How amazing is that to think about? Jesus has got to love us despite our flaws. And believe me, I have plenty. How can they love someone like me? Here I am. At times, I fold at the slightest bit of discomfort. Somebody wants to talk about being a Christian, I'd fold. And some of that's, at school, it's hard to do in my job as a public school educator because of the shackles that are put on me. But a lot of that's because of my flaws and weaknesses. It's not just because of that. I mean, if a kid brings up God and Jesus, I can talk to them about that. I can encourage them. I have a student in my office this week talking about it. Well, let's talk about it. He's wanting to start a Bible study. Go for it. What help can we give you? Within limits of the law, but what can we do? That's easy. It's when I'm talking with a coworker that's difficult. When I'm talking to somebody who's a non-Christian, that's difficult for me. So my Moses moment, this is probably where you need to do the earmuffs. You don't need to listen to me for a little bit, okay? Yeah. The moment that causes me to backpedal and run for the proverbial hills. The moment that makes me just beyond nervous. The thought of this activity, and I'm going to read this because I felt pretty good about what I wrote. The thought of doing this activity provokes thoughts of passing out and losing my last meal. I'm beyond uncomfortable at even the thought of doing this activity. This is coming from a guy who's done, I've done live television, I've done live radio, I've spoken to legislators and their staff in Nashville, I've spoken to congressional staffs in D.C. for lobbying efforts. But put me in a door-knocking situation to talk about Jesus, I am not sure what I'm going to do. These guys over here have done it. I just don't know if I could do it. And so that is the problem. That's what I have to deal with. And the obvious question is, well, why is this a problem? I've been in church since I was a kid. I was baptized in 1985. Been active. I've taught a class one summer. I speak every so often up here. Why is that a problem? It's really simple. I'm just not comfortable with my level of knowledge. I sat here this morning and listened to these guys talk in class. I'm going, that's way above my head. And whose fault is that? Mine. I don't spend enough time studying. I don't spend enough time in the Bible. I don't spend enough time reading. I just don't spend, and that's my fault. That's one of my huge weaknesses. And that's why if I can go speak to congressional staff. That's why I can do live TV, because I've researched whatever I know what I'm going in for. I know what I need to talk about, so I'm prepared. Where if I go to a door knocking, they answer, I've got my first line. It's if they have a question, I'm going, what am I supposed to say now? Am I prepared for that question? So, sweat beads, heart palpitations, lightheadedness, possible blacking out. That's what I envision happening in my first door knocking experience. So what can I do short of having an ambulance sitting on the street waiting for me to pass out? Well, it's easy. I could challenge myself. Just like I did in 2003 with that presentation, I challenged myself to get better knowledge, to be prepared for that situation. I can do that now. It's just actually taking the time to do that. So here's the crux of today's lesson. Being in uncomfortable situations can make us to focus. Focus on growing as individuals, focus on growing as Christians. I heard Cal Turner speak one time, the guy from Dollar General. And he said one of his philosophies in working at Dollar General is, what is wrong and what can we do to help fix it? It's a pretty good way. What's wrong? I don't have enough knowledge. What can we do to fix it? Get more knowledge. It's simple, but there's effort behind getting to that point. So let's go back to Moses and his quest to get out of God's assignment for him. God was able to finally convince Moses after much cajoling and convincing and some work on God's part. Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery. He did this with the direct support of God. He did this with the support of his brother. He did this to support all kinds of people through this whole ordeal. Yet he was still uncomfortable the whole time. He finally got to that point, and he was able to accomplish the mission. Now, God is our biggest source of support. And originally I had that written down, he was our biggest cheerleader. That's not right. I don't think that's right. I think he's our biggest source of support. Because if we have a problem, what do? We pray to God. That's who we take our problems to. So he is our biggest source of support. He gives us the tools for success. But it also comes down to us being willing to use those tools in an effective way. You can give me all the tools you want to for me to build something. It doesn't really matter. I have to know how to do it. YouTube, Google, or somebody's going to have to help me. So giving the tools is one thing. Being able to use those tools is another. Several years ago, when we embarked on this whole endeavor of having the rotating speakers, my first lesson was about unanswered prayers. And I had given that lesson before and really was able to edit it in terms of, I feel like, having more knowledge. And even now, I feel like I've learned a lot since then. But unanswered, just because God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want doesn't mean he doesn't answer our prayers. If we ask for one thing, we get something else. Who knows more, God or us? That's pretty simple. It's not us. So he may not answer the prayers the way we want him to, but he answers our prayers the way he thinks is best for us. We have to understand not only are universities not daycares, but Christianity is not a daycare. Christianity, we have to challenge ourselves. We have to challenge ourselves every day. We have to challenge the people around us to grow. We have to take those moments that make us uncomfortable and move in a way that makes us... What makes us uncomfortable today can make us successful tomorrow. We have to utilize that plan. So for me, I need a greater knowledge. And it goes back to simple. What do I need? More knowledge. How do I get it? Study more to get that knowledge. It is with any lesson I teach, it's more of a personal challenge when I get up here than it is a challenge for you guys. Because sometimes we have to have our cage rattled. And the bulk of the lessons I've ever done through the time we've been doing this are to challenge me, because I see my flaws, my deficiencies. And sometimes I just need to stand up and address those publicly, so it makes me uncomfortable to go fix them. So in our closing song, the chorus says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." And the question I came up with for this is, because he lives, what are we doing? What are we going to do to show the people in our lives that he lives through us? What do we do on a daily basis to show people who our God is? And what do we do to show that on a daily basis? It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it may make us. It matters that we show that God is the great I am for us. What are we going to do to continue to exemplify that in our lives? What are we going to do to make sure people understand that we are the true believers in God in everything that we do? I need to challenge myself. If you need to challenge yourself, this is kind of what the idea was, is to challenge ourselves, make ourselves uncomfortable, and go outside of that comfort zone and experience something that makes us better Christians. Makes us a better person, makes us a better Christian. So if you'll please join us as we stand and sing number 464.